Welcome to Life Church of Mobile's audio podcast. We hope this teaching will challenge you in any season of life you may be in. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you'll enjoy.
Thank God for His presence here today, for worship, for just the awesome, awesome surrounding atmosphere that births miracles like we just heard about. We thank God for His goodness. Amen? How many of you are glad to be here today? Well, we're glad you are here. Thank you. As our J-12 goes off for their service, we invite you now. Those of you watching online, thank you for being a part of our service today. Those of you that are so faithful to join us week after week from different places, not only here in the United States, but all over the world. We're so grateful that you can be here. And as part of that, you already know that He's here today. Our dear Bishop from Ghana, West Africa, Joshua Holder, is here in the house. And without further ado, I'm going to introduce him. Give him the pulpit and allow him to break the bread of the Word of God and share his heart with us today. Would you one more time stand and give a welcome to our great bishop from Ghana, West Africa, Bishop Joshua Holder. So, welcome home.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Please have a sit down. But don't go down, amen. If you ever go down, you are in trouble. Hallelujah. Papa, it's so good to be home. So good to be home. I bring you greetings from the continent of Africa, precisely Ghana, where God lives. Amen. And I'm so excited to come back home and see faces that I met many, many years ago, especially Mama Gail. Amen. But last year we celebrated our 30th anniversary of ministry in Ghana. And the team was there this year to climax the 30th anniversary. And my brother, my friend, my missions director, my senior minister, Woody Godwin, was there. Amen. And we had a wonderful time, but we really miss you, though. We really miss you. Because we had you on the posters, on the banner, and everything else. And people were asking, but where is the senior pastor? I said, he's here in the spirit. But I want to be thankful to God for the 30 years that He has blessed us to minister in the nation of Ghana. I go back beyond 30 years when I was a little boy living in a dirt house, barefooted. And Pastor Dick Braswell, my father, my papa, saw in me what I did not see. As the scripture said, you know, God brought us from the miry clay, you know, and put our feet upon the rock and established our going. That's what He did in my life. And until I leave this earth and go to heaven, I will be grateful to Papa Dick Braswell. And I'm not just saying this because I'm here. I see it in his absence as well. And I mean it. And with Mama Pat standing by his side. What if they have seen with the physical eyes what my appearance was and rejected me based on my appearance? Consider how many pastors How many churches? How many souls? How many lives would not be where they are today? And standing behind them was Life Church of Mobile. I'm grateful to all of you. I'm indebted to you. That's why I pray for you. Because had you not believed in his vision from Lord Road, a little church, how do I got to know? I have the tapes. And Papa Scott standing preaching. And Mama Scott Mama preaching. And they were all preaching and singing. A little church. God bless you. You are an amazing family. Only heaven will reward you for what you are doing across the world. You see yourself sitting in this room, but you are touching lives across the world. Places that you may never step foot. You may never see. You may never visit. But in heaven, those little ones will run to you and say, had you not been obedient to the heavenly vision, I would not have made it to heaven. God bless you all. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Shall we go to God in prayer? Father, we thank you for you are great. We thank you for you are awesome. That from the foundation of the earth, you call us and you ordain us. When we did not know you, you knew us. When we were Gentiles, you loved us. And therefore, Lord, we are grateful unto you. We bless you, Father, we give you the praise. We say, Lord, be glorified. Jesus' name we pray. Bless your word, O God, and may it fall on good grounds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And may the house of God say amen.
Amen.
Well, let's open our Bibles to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 22. This chapter is loaded with great information, great teachings. And time will not permit us to go through all the theological, historical backgrounds of this chapter. But I want to press home a word that the Lord placed on my heart during our season of fasting and praying in Ghana. You know, the beginning of every year, we take time to fast and pray for the new year. And the Lord has given me one scripture in the book of Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. But my text has always been, you have not passed this way before. Every new year, that's my topic. You have not passed this way before. So God to the children of Israel said, let the ark of the covenant go before you. Let my presence go before you. Because you have not passed this way before. And children of God, brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers, we have not passed this way before. But with God's presence before us, we will succeed and we will overcome. So let's go to 2 Kings chapter 22. My wife sends us greetings. I know my children are on the internet watching. And I don't say it, they will tell their mama. My wife sent her greetings to all of you, and my family is doing well. The churches are doing well. The Bible schools are doing well. Faith Academy is doing well. And the ministry is growing. 2 Kings chapter 22, we'll read the first four verses. I'm reading from the New King James. The Bible says, now 3 years pass without war between Syria and Israel. Then it came to pass in a third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went down to visit the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said to his servants, do you know that Ramah in Gilead is ours? But we hesitate to take it out of the hands of the king of Syria. So he said to Jehoshaphat, will you go with me to fight at Ramah in Gilead? But my emphasis is on verse number 3. And this is where I want to press home today. And the king of Israel said to his servants, do you know that Ramah in Gilead is ours? And we have hesitated. We have done nothing. We have made no effort to take it out of the hands of the king of Syria. Now the king of Syria here for me is the devil. It's our enemy who has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Whose intention is for us not to inherit the blessings, the goodness of God in our lives. So I want to paraphrase this verse without doing the Bible no harm and ask you a question. Do you know that God has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies? Do you know that your children are for signs and for wonders and not for alcohol and drugs and not for imprisonment? Do you know the Bible says that our children will possess the gates of the enemies? Do you know that we are the heads and not the tail? Do you know that we are above and not beneath? Do you know we are victors and not victims? Do you know we are to live and not to die? Do you know when the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard? Do you know? Do you know? Do you know? This was a wake-up call for the people of Judah. This was a call to action. Because if you know, then you got to do something about it. If you know it is yours, and the enemy has taken it from you, you can't sit. You can't remain quiet. You can't remain passive. You got to get up. You got to take your stand. You got to take back what is yours. Because it is yours. The blood of Jesus on the cross of Calvary paid for it. And the devil cannot have it. So King Ahab, he asked the people, his seven, his military men, do you know the land is ours? Ask someone, ask someone, do you know it is yours? Oh, don't be bashful, don't be so civilized, don't be so Christianized. Ask someone, do you know it is yours? Do you know it is yours? Do you know it is yours? Now, if you know, don't sit. Get up. Take it. It's yours. Take it. 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 And it's yours. Glory be to God. You can't sit and allow the devil to have what is yours. You can't remain quiet and allow the devil to have what is yours. King Ahaz said, do you know the land is ours? And we have done nothing. Do you know the healing is yours? And you have done nothing. Do you know the job is yours? And you have done nothing. Do you know the promotion is yours? And you have done nothing. We can't be quiet no more. We can't be passive no more. We can't be Christianese no more. God bless. Have the seat. Do you know the land is yours?
Yes, it is.
Where are my people, the favors? Where are they? Where are they? That's right. That's right. Do you know it's yours?
Yes.
Do you know it's yours?
Yes.
Let's see something here. Oh, glory be to God. You see, Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11, 12, and then we'll skip to 16 because of time. Matthew 11, verse 12. And you all know this, and you say it, you quote it all the time. The Bible says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffer violence, and the violent take it by being passive. He take it by being Christianese. Well, you know, God knows it all. In the sweet by and by, I know what the Lord is doing. I'm just going to wait and be patiently until the Lord turns my way. No. Read that Bible. Read that Bible. He said the violin, take it by. But go to verse 16. That's where the story is. Jesus said, but unto what should I lack in this generation? Talking about you and myself. He said, unto what should I compare this generation? And look what Jesus said. They are like children sitting in the marketplace. Children sitting in the marketplace. What are they doing? Playing. The devil's stealing what is yours, and you playing. The devil has moved in your house, and you are playing. Children sitting in a marketplace playing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No. What he's saying is that we need to what? Rise up.
Bring it.
We can't be children in the marketplace any longer. This thing is real.
Yes.
The devil is up to kill you. He's up to kill your children. He's up to kill your marriage. He's up to kill your family. You can no longer sit in the marketplace and play. This thing is real. So David got the revelation when he confronted the man called Goliath. Now go me to 1 Samuel chapter 17, 48 through 49. But our answer will be on verse number 48. 1 Samuel 17, verse 48. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 48. I love David. The Bible says, so it was When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. When I saw this, I said, I see where we Christians, we have missed it. Because here is David facing Goliath, and the enemy is advancing, and we Christians, we are standing doing nothing. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet. No. David realized that he ought to take the battle to the enemy camp. So instead of standing, the Bible says he ran to the Philistine. It's time that we take the battle to the enemy's camp. It's time that we leave our comfort zone. It's time that we stop being on the defensive, but not being on the offensive, and marching to the devil and telling the devil, enough is enough. Enough is enough. I draw the line and I declare, this is my territory. This is my boundary. You cannot cross the line. Devil, you cannot cross this line. My family belongs to me. My house belongs to me. I'm the king of my house. I'm the king of my family. You cannot enter into my house. You cannot enter into my business. It belongs to me. David ran. He ran to meet Goliath. It's no time to be on the defensive, because the Bible says, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, it will come, it will advance, it will proceed, but it will not prevail. Amen. So the church don't stand. The church is too militant to stand. The church must advance. People of God, it's time for us to take the battle to the enemy camp. It's time for us to declare war on the enemy. It's time for us to take back the land. Take back our blessings. Take back our children. Take back our breakthrough. Take back what the sheer blood of Jesus has purchased on the cross for us. It's time that we must take it back. David ran to meet Goliath. Oh, glory be to God. We need to take our stand. It's time to take our stand. Go to the book of Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Oh, boy. Beginning at verse number 1. Man, when I got hold of this, I said, glory be to God. That devil is a liar. No more devil. We got the secret now. We got the revelation now. Something burning on the inside. We got fire in our bones. Acts chapter 12 verse 1. The Bible says, now about that time Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Now, you see, the devil is always stupid. He got no sense. He thought that putting Jesus on the cross would have brought to an end the purpose and plan of God. But little did he know that putting Jesus on the cross would have reproduced tens and thousands and millions of little Jesuses. That devil ain't got no chance. Now, here is Herod, and listen to me, spirit do not die. So physically, Herod may be dead and gone, but the spirit that operated through Herod is still in existence today. So now the Bible says Herod put forth his hand to mesmerize some of the church. Big mistake. While he killed James for his political achievement, but then the Bible says he put for the hand to take Peter as well. He took Peter. But now let's say something here. Go with me to verse number five. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the... You see where the devil got himself all mixed up and confused? He succeeded, he killed James. He took the church unaware and by surprise when he killed James. But then the church realized, now he has taken Peter. He took James, we did nothing. He killed James, we did nothing. Now he has taken Peter. It's about high time. We must stand our ground. He cannot succeed with Peter. So the Bible says the church began to pray. Children of God, the greatest weapon of the church is prayer. And that is why the devil has succeeded in taking prayer out of the lives of believers. Because he knows in prayer, he is defeated. In prayer, we can destroy, overthrow, and overturn decisions of the world. So what he has done, and he has been successful to some extent, is to weaken the prayer lives of the church. Now you call for prayer meetings. If care is not taken, you, the pastor alone, will be there with your wife. I'm not joking. Call for prayer meeting. You have the faithful few. But call for a musical concert. Or bring some kind of prophet to come and extract money. The room is packed. But call for Bible studies. Call for prayer meeting. The devil will give every reason and every excuse why you shouldn't go. Because he knows in corporate prayer, when the church pray in unison, when the church pray in power, he cannot succeed. He knows that. So the Bible says they killed James. Herod killed James. And he put forth his hand and he took hold of Peter. But the end of Herod was a disaster. Not that Peter was only safe, but Herod also died a disgraceful death. If you read the whole chapter. That is why you don't mess with the church. The church has power. And we don't know we have power. We don't know what is in us. But let me show you how much power we have. And Jesus said this. Matthew chapter 16. Verse 18. And verse 19. Jesus says something in verse 18 and 19. Matthew 16. He said, and I say to you, you are Peter, little rock. I will build my church upon you, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. But go to verse 19. And I will give you the keys. He didn't say key. He said keys. So which means whatever problem you have, there is a key to that problem. And he has given you the key. And that key is in your mouth. That key is called declaration and decree. Where you stand and make declaration. Devil, in the name of Jesus, this is mine. You cannot have it. Enough is enough. My wife will not die. My children will not die. My husband will not die. My wife will not die. My business will not collapse. Devil, I decree and declare, it is mine. It is in your mouth. It is in your mouth. But then look what he says in the same verse. He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Now understand what the word bind and loose means. Bind means whatever you stop on earth will be stopped in heaven. Amen. And loose means whatever you permit or you allow. Heaven will permit it and allow it. So, if you will stop the devil, if you will bind him and stop him, heaven backs you. If you will lose healing in your family, heaven backs you. So while we are waiting on God to do something, God is waiting on you. Because what? He has given you the keys, man. You have the keys. You have the keys. What are you doing with it? Stop the devil. Close the door. And then permit the blessings of God, the favor of God, the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Whatever you stop, heaven will back you. Whatever you lose, heaven will back you. If you don't stop, nothing. People of God, the devil is serious. I'm not glorifying him. He's under my feet. But we must have the revelation that we are in a spiritual war. And especially in these last days, it's been intensified. So we cannot be lecturer in the marketplace any longer. We need to declare war. Get your brother, your sister. Brother, this is what I'm going through. I want for you to pray with me. Brother, I have 10 minutes of my job. Can we agree and pray on this issue? Sister, I have 5 minutes break on my job. Come pray with me. Let's believe God. The devil cannot have my husband. He cannot have my wife. He cannot have my children. It's no more time to be religiously proud. When the devil is real and he's everywhere now. There were times, you know, people were a little bit embarrassed to show their ungodliness and their evil behavior in the world. But now they are more bold than anything else. Openly practicing witchcraft and all
lot of things. Now, if they can be bold, what about we, the church, that have the power, that have the answer, that can close the door and shut the mouth of the devil? Why are we quiet? We can't be quiet no more. You are a Christian, and on your job, nobody knows you are a Christian. You come to Life Church. Sense the presence of God that we're in the worship this morning. Where can you find this thing? If you ever hear a man shouting like a woman, he must be touched by the presence of God. And I saw a man shouting here. Men don't shout. If a man is shouting, he's touched by the presence of God. And there are people who you sit in your offices with. They don't know Jesus. And they don't know that you are a believer. I tell our church members all the time, the only reason why you are ashamed to declare your stand as a believer when your life is not right. I tell our church, I tell the Bible school students, I tell the Bible college students, if your life is right, you have no reason to be ashamed to declare. As the Apostle Paul said in Romans 1:16, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Amen. Believers can only be ashamed when they are not living that book. But if you are living that book, you won't be ashamed of it. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So God is waiting on us to bind and loose while we're waiting on God. People of God, let's look at one other scripture. I know we have to beat the Baptist. But let's go to Acts chapter 16, verse 22. And then we'll jump to verse number 25. We can't be silent no more. Then the multitude rose up together against them, talking about Paul and Silas. And the magistrate tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many straps on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoner were listening to them. Verse 26. Suddenly. There will always be a suddenly when the child of God prayed. There will always be a suddenly when the church prays. Now they had every reason to complain, because why? They were unjustly beaten. If you read the whole account, they went to release them, they sent to release them. And Paul and Silas said, No. They openly beat us, and now they want to release us secretly. Tell them to come and release us. And the Bible said the magistrate with all his regalia on went there and released them and pleaded with them to forgive them. Hello. Hallelujah. So they had every reason to complain. Oh God, we are laboring for you. Now look what we have gone through. Oh God, this is not just not fair. Don't you know we are believers? We are No. Their feet were in stocks. The hands were tied. But the mouth was not tied. Their mouths were not tied. And that's where the power is. That's where the power is. Your feet may be tied. Your hands may be tied. But they can't tie thy mouth. Amen. And the Bible says, I love midnight prayer. I don't know about you, but I love midnight prayer. I love midnight. Back home, sometimes we pray from 9 to 5 a.m. Pray throughout the whole night. And midnight prayer is the most solemn, sensitive kind of feeling you sense when you are praying midnight. I want to challenge someone here. Begin to pray midnight prayers. From 12, 1 to 2. Begin to pray midnight prayer. Because there's an account in the Bible where the Bible said that two women had children, you know, and at midnight, the one took her dead child and gave it to the other one and took the living one child. It is in the Bible. I can't quote it right now, but it is in the Bible. So at midnight, there was some spiritual exchange. And people will tell you, say that those who have chronic diseases, say at midnight, that's when their pains intensify. Those who have pains, those who are sick, they say in the night, that when the pain intensifies, midnight. So there's something about midnight. So the Bible says Paul and Silas began to pray at midnight. Hallelujah. Because midnight, that's when people fall into deep sleep, you know. They sleep their senses out at midnight. And that's when the devil knows that they are asleep. So the Bible says, the Bible tells us that when men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares. So I believe it was at the midnight sleep that the enemies came and sowed tares. So I want to encourage us. Let's begin cultivating the habit and the hobbit of praying at midnight. Especially you fathers who are kings and priests over their homes. What it would be when your wife and children are sleeping and you are walking in the house speaking the blessings of God over your children, praying for your wife, decree and declaring the word of God over your family. Devil, you cannot live in this house. I am the head of this house. Jesus is the Lord of this house. Devil, my children and my wife, we are for signs and for wonders. My children are blessed. My wife is blessed. Do you know the atmosphere that will exist in your homes? I want to challenge every father, every husband to begin praying the midnight prayer. Good word. There's something on your mobile phone. It's called alarm. Set the alarm beginning tonight. 12 o'clock, wake up. And begin to decree and declare. Amen. Take hold. Speak over your business. Speak over your finance. Speak over your children. Speak over your health. Speak over your life. That devil will not coexist in your home no more. You will never see your wife as your opposition no more. Your wife will not be the devil in your house no more. The devil be gone. And you will have a lovely family. You have a lovely home. Do you know the land is ours? Do you know the blessing is yours? Do you know the healing is yours? Do you know the breakthrough is yours? Do you know the business is yours? Do you know that promotion is yours? If you know, rise up, decree and declare and take hold of it in Jesus' name.
Amen, 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 amen.
Glory. Remain standing for just a moment. I have my phone sitting there, and we've got some folks that they're in the hospital right now, and they're watching online, and they said, you tell that brother, you tell Bishop that we're in this hospital room right now, and we are rising up. This is a word from God. So to all of you that are watching online, some in the hospital right now, this is the word of the Lord. And, you know, I just want to confirm this. I was talking with somebody at Wednesday night prayer, and they said, you know, if you're not aware of this already, you might as well get aware of it. There is no such thing as anybody who is, if you're a believer, you are being forced to the front lines of the battle today. There is no, you know, mediocrity. There is no way back, well, I'm just back here. Let me tell you what. The battle lines have been drawn, and we are being called by God, and the enemy is trying to intimidate to the front lines. And so, welcome to the battle. We have a victorious Savior. We will rise up. We will pray. We will declare. We will decree. The word of the Lord will come out of our mouth like a sharp two-edged sword. How many of you are saying, yes, 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 yes? Hallelujah. Give God praise. I just want us to pray. Father, I thank you for the word of the Lord that has gone forward into the hearts and lives. Church, come gather around the bishop right now. Come on. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. First of all, we decree and declare that the word of the Lord has gone forth from this place today, is infiltrating every area of those that are dealing with attacks, find themselves on the front lines. And so, Father, that's where we are today. But we declare and we decree this, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We declare and we decree the enemy is defeated, that our health is springing forth speedily in Jesus' name. The angelic armies and forces of heaven are surrounding us and our families, our sons and our daughters, our children and our grandchildren, our homes, our churches, our businesses, our finances, oh, our relationships, every area of life, Father God, is being infiltrated, first of all, by the power of the Holy Spirit and the living Word of God. And so, Father, we get in agreement with this today, and we as the church, we rise up. We rise up in faith. We rise up in agreement with the Word of God, and we declare and we decree victory is ours in Jesus' mighty name. Now, Father, as our bishop kneels before us, we declare and we decree that he is anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit in greater ways than he's ever experienced before. Thank you, Father God, that the fire, the passion, the youth, the youthfulness of a young man is infiltrating his body, even to the joints and marrow of his bones. That he and Mama Linda are renewed and refreshed and raised up, Father God, reinvigorated for the call of God that is on them and on their lives. And Lord, this same fire and passion that is in him will spread to all those who are associated with him. Father, we declare and we decree it now in Jesus' name. Lord, for all of our missionaries, Lord, even next week as we will pray over those that are going out again, Father, we declare and we decree the same anointing, the same fire, the same power, the living Word of God shall go forth, and it shall accomplish all that it has been called by God to do. And so, Father, we give you thanks and praise right now for this great Word, for the man of God, for his work, for what you have called him to do in this house as well as all across the world. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you that 2024, we may not have passed this way before, but I thank you, you are the Lord who goes before us. Oh, you go before us, and you make a way where there is no way. So we declare and we decree that we are Spirit-led, Spirit-baptized, Spirit-filled, and overflowing with the Spirit of the living God. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, I want you to give God a shout of praise for victory in this house. Yes! Hallelujah. Well, here's what I'd like you to do today. If you need prayer for anything, we're here. But I'd like you to take some time to fellowship with our bishop today. So if you would, come by, greet him right now. He's here. He'll be here for as long as you need to be. But come and greet him and say hello. God bless you guys. We will see you next time. Hallelujah.
Thanks again for listening to our audio podcast. If you would like to find out more about our church, you can visit us at life-church.org.